Michael, how many children is too much? This is the Quest for Power.
Welcome to Quest for Power Campaign Legends of the Lost Kingdoms, where we are raiding and reviewing monarchs of the Celtic Angle Isles from the early High Kings of Ireland to sometime before the rise of Charlemagne. Notice how I didn't say all or many, I just said we are reviewing monarchs. I am your unreliable narrator host, Michael, and joining me on this adventure is...
Roberto, and I have a question for you, Michael, from the get-go.
Yeah, let's go for it.
This podcast states that we're reviewing all the monarchs of Europe, so you're already lying to the listeners.
Yeah, I am. Yeah,
oh, happens. Well.
That's I why am you're an unreliable narrator.
Exactly. I found the loophole in your logic, and I'm already pointing it out to everybody. So, you can only trust me in this talk.
Yeah, I agree. I would not trust me. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
Can this sprite just, like, not try to, like, overflow? Michael and I are about to do the Sprite Challenge. You're going to hear the recording of that.
No, he is. I'm drinking Irish whiskey because we are in Ireland, obviously.
I'm drinking a Sprite because it's green and we're in Ireland.
There you go.
So I will be cutting out any unnecessary burps.
Today we are continuing our way through the prologue of Season 6, which is our current story arc. So previously on The Quest for Power... We began our adventure through the Lost Kingdoms during the unique cycle of three kings named Aeth Ruad, Dithorba, and Simbath. For some unknown reason, Aeth Ruad decided to go drown himself in a waterfall, and when it was time for rule, he was kind of dead. His daughter Maka demanded that she reign in his stead as heir, but the other two kings... Yeah, they weren't about to give their kingship to a member of the gentler sex.
How dare they? Like, how dare she have the audacity to even try to rule? Like,
terrible. And then she proceeded to kill Dithorba and then marry Simbath. So kill one of her enemies, marry the other one. Kind of works.
Yeah. She's a boss bitch.
Both her and Simbath didn't seem to have children together, but they fostered a parent and... They foster-parented a son named Ugain. She and Simbath reigned together for 7 years, and then he died of plague, and then she reigned solo for another 7 years. After which, a man we know as Red King stuck a dagger in her ribs, and she died in a pool of her own blood. Did I miss anything?
Moment of silence for Makamonk Ruath. It's good enough.
Alright, so after murdering Maka, the Red King seized control of the High Kingship of Ireland.
Okay. Yes, I assume that's what he did after he killed Maka.
Yep.
How fucking dare he.
Yep, and we learn that Maka was the daughter of his father's killer. So it's kind of completing this wonderful cycle of vengeful murder.
It's just more bloodletting. Because, yeah, your dad killed my dad, so I'm going to kill you. But now your son's going to kill me. Wait a second.
Wait a second.
You said recovering Ugain.
I did. No. I mean, that might be the title of this episode. You are correct on that.
Because he only called him the Red King, but you gave Ugain a name. So
I just called him the Red King because I don't remember what his name was, but I was like, I am not pronouncing that, and he is not important enough. Spoiler alert.
There. The spoilers are given already. Hell yeah. Okay, let's continue on. Let's see what
happens. Speaking of which, we know nothing that happens during 20 years of his reign. So an entire 20 years go by and we know nothing.
All right, zero on everything.
Out later, in later podcasts, that a lot of shit happens in just 1 year of reign. So, you know, we're missing a lot of good stuff. But anyway... One day, Ugain comes up to the Red King and he says, hey, does this dagger look familiar? And then stabs it into the Red King's ribs, slicing up into his heart. The Red King falls dead and a red pool of blood around him.
Well, he is the Red King. I was hoping, you know, it would be weird if it was blue.
Yeah, it would. I like to think, obviously, there is no historical evidence, or even if they were killed by a dagger, but I like to think that each of these kings in succession are killed by the same exact dagger. It's like this cursed dagger that always ends up killing the king.
It's a curse of power. okay, so I'm imagining this like fey bounded, like fey energy bounded dagger. That's just though it's how like, because you know you can never trust a fey. So this is a fey dagger because you can never trust another.
What's it called? We got to give this dagger a name.
Ooh, I have a great name for it. You know, I have the best of names. It's a best name.
The greatest of names.
The greatest of names. Yeah, it's a great name. It's the best of names. I'm definitely not looking up a name for the sword. Okay, you know what about like, I don't know, something called something fun, something nice, something chill. Something that I'm just not searching up on the internet right now. Or maybe something, you know, called Nether Skiathok.
What the fuck?
He's the Lord of Fairy Dragons and Pseudo Dragons in D&D.
Can you give me a name I can pronounce?
Nether.
Nether?
Yeah, and it's just like Nether Skiathok.
How the hell do you spell that?
With words. I am being a smartass right now. I'm putting in...
Nether.
Nether. Like Nat Hair.
You know, Skiathok. That looks like an Irish thing. So yeah, we'll go with Nether. Sounds good. Yeah, All right, so the dagger Nether.
Yes, the dagger Nether. There we go.
All right, so after completing his requisite vengeful murder in honor for the love of his foster mother, Ugain seizes High Kingship of Ireland.
Good.
Pretty standard. One day during his life, Ugain gained the hand of a beautiful Gaelic princess named Kasair.
Nether, Kasair.
Ooh. These two either really loved each other or, you know, it's ancient Ireland and they had nothing better to do. And the reason I say this is Kasair ended up bearing him 25 children.
You gain more children.
Oh, yeah.
I slay myself if not there.
Oh, that poor, poor woman. Honestly, it's a she should be a goddess because it's a miracle that she survived that many childbirths in that age.
But honestly, 26, how old was she when she got married? Because minimum, I'd say
she was at least 16. Probably 14? 14?
I'd say she's at least 16. Let's just be happier with the number 16.
Like 14 to 16, I'm guessing. I bet you he was 21.
So she had kids until she was like in her 30s, 40s, 30s numbers. 14 plus 26, that's a 4 plus 40.
Yeah, those two had to have had a lot of sex.
Or they had like twins and all that.
Or like they were bound and determined to have as many, like they made up like when they had their marriage vows, or like we will have as many children as possible.
So this reminds me of a video I saw on Instagram. And essentially it's like, it's a woman basically saying, how do I have so many kids? And she has like five kids. And basically it's her going to sit down and her husband just, you know, has her sit on his lap and out of nowhere pops another child.
That's hilarious.
I actually laughed at that. It's just, and then basically she would get up. It's like, what the hell? Sit back down and there's another child. And he would just shift over. And he's like, what the heck? So
that's funny.
It was very funny.
Well, for this woman, she gave birth to 22 sons and 3 daughters. So the seed was strong with him.
Oh. So we're going to have 21 deaths in the family.
Maybe.
Come on. It's a royal line in Ireland. They're going to kill each other. I've played Crusader Kings.
Towards the end of his reign, Ugain divided up Ireland into 25 parts, one for each of his children.
What? That's not what you do.
Taxes were then collected via these new sub-kingdoms, which would go to be the division of the land of Ireland for 300 more years.
So that's a strong legacy score right there.
Oaths in Anish... okay, so, you know, how would you go about maintaining that? You know, 300 years is pretty impressive. Well, oaths are very strong in Irish honor culture. They are pretty much unbreakable, like the unbreakable vow in Harry Potter. You just don't break them. You know, you probably die if you do or get some horrific death. So Ugain commanded all the inhabitants of Ireland. I wonder if that's animal inhabitants too. They don't really say people.
It's the Fae.
To swear an oath, quote, by all that is all the elements, both seen and unseen, by sun and moon, by water and fire, by wind and air, by day and night, by sea and land, to never oppose his children or his line for the throne of Ireland.
I don't think that's going to go too well for him.
I just have to note one thing, that the sources never say that his children say the oath. They say the inhabitants of Ireland say the oath.
Well, there's the issue. The inhabitants may not say no, but the sons may say, hey, bro, I've got beef with you.
Yeah. So we don't know much about 40 years of his reign, other than all the children he had, his poor, beautiful wife. But he gained the moniker Mór. He is known as Ugain Mór, and Mór in Ireland means the great. So he did something right.
Yeah, he had 26 children.
Yeah, so like he did something, you know.
He gained Mór children.
He definitely left his mark on the world. We just don't know too much about what he did during those 40 years besides a lot of fucking.
And similar to Genghis Khan, people say that everyone in Ireland is related to him.
Yeah, I think he is, probably.
It's like Charlemagne. Everyone in Europe's related to Charlemagne somehow.
Charlemagne too, when we get to that one. Anyway, one day he was feasting with his family, and his brother Bobachad came up to him holding Nathair that slew Maka. He looked Ugain straight in the eye and said, I'm sorry, brother. And he stabbed him in between the ribs, left the dagger in the great king as he fell to his knees before collapsing to the ground, dying in a crimson pool of his own blood.
Wait, did you say Boba Fett?
Bod Chad. It's B-O-D-B Chad. I don't know what that... We can call him Boba Fett.
Boba Fett.
His brother, Boba Fett. There you go.
Boba Chad.
I'm going to go with Boba Fett. Yep, we're going with Boba Fett. All right.
Alrighty.
Unfortunately, that's all I have for our legendary ruler.
Are we ranking him?
Yeah. So That's the life and reign of Ugain the Great, the proud and glorious foster son of Maka Mong Ruad, daughter of Aeth Ruad, High King of Ireland.
Okay.
Let's go.
Royal power!
The annals of the Four Masters state that he reigned for 40 years. We are told that he ruled Western Europe as far as Muir Torian. There's one problem. We have no idea where that is, other than it's across the Irish Sea. We are also told he controlled Ireland, Elba, which is modern-day Scotland, and all the Isle of Wight, so essentially pretty much all the British Isles.
Alba Go Brath!
The annals of the Four Masters take it as far as he ruled all of Gaul, and remember, Rome isn't a thing at this time yet. They're still in Italy doing their piddly crap. So, I'm going to look at this, and this is going to come very clear when we get to other kings. At first, I'm not inclined to believe this, because he doesn't give any of these lands to his children. But rule in Ireland isn't just holding hands. I don't know if you recall last episode, power is in hostages.
Yes.
So he may have been so imposing of a figure that he exacted tribute from these lands and therefore considered ruled at this time. Ireland isn't exactly a centralized region. This is how they control vast regions. So I could see it in the 40, he ruled for 40 years. In the 40 years that he did conquer, you know, all the way through and had people conquer for him and exact, you know, tribute for all those lands. That's all I got.
I got one two.
Two?
Yeah.
I'm going an eight. I think he held a lot of power that we just are not aware of.
That's the thing, though. Like, I'm giving him one for ruling for so long and another one for potentially having that. But it's one of those things, like, I don't want to go based off of, like, yeah, you know. Like, he may have had tributes. He may have had things.
Spoiler alert. That's all of the the people that we are about to do may have existed.
That we're about to do.
Yeah. And that we are doing. He might have existed. We don't know. Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, yeah, but like, he might have existed, but we had more information on Maka than we did on him.
I mean, yeah, we had about the same amount. Yeah, I just had a lot more background information to get through before we got to Maka.
Yeah, but Maka was way more fun.
I mean, yeah, she's fun, but...
And like, there's no like big battles or anything. Yeah, he stabs a king, and then it's like, okay, cool. You know, if, for me, it needs to be written down. You know, I can go off of...
The scribes did write down he controlled all of these lands. The scribes did write that down.
Okay,
that's
okay.
That's not me making that up. That the scribes.
I'll go half your score and give him a 4. But I'm not giving him more than that. It's okay for us to have differing scores, Michael.
I agree.
Okay.
But I'm gonna start argue my point because I can't argue in other facets of my life, so I'm gonna argue here. Why argue about things that matter when you can argue about things that don't matter?
With some stranger on the internet.
We're not strangers. Yeah, are we strangers?
We've slept in the same room.
Yeah, come on.
And on the same bunk bed.
Yeah, exactly.
So, okay, but I'm giving my point is I like this information. I think it's interesting, but it's one of those things that if it was corroborated with like another chronicle of sorts, that'd be cool. Oh, he's pulling up the information. He may get a few more points from me.
This is corroborated by Annals of the Four Masters, Jeffrey Keating, which is like the big fake history of
British
Isles. He does the history of Ireland.
Okay.
All right, so we're going to have to go through this. Jeffrey Keating and Annals of the Four Masters are the big doodads of, in terms of sources connecting all of our kings together. Okay. It was considered until very recently this was Irish history. Then recently people have pulled back and went, maybe not, you know. But up until very, very recently, and I'm talking like 1800s recently, this was Irish history. So all the way through to like when we get to the, you know, at the end of our era, this is still the history that they think. It is belongs to the Irish culture. It is what they refer to as their history. So we're getting in that gray area of, does history have to be fact?
Oh, is this Joffrey Keating?
Yes.
Oh, hell yeah. It's a long way to Tipperary.
Yes, this is Joffrey Keating and Annals of the Four Masters and the Book of the Taking of Ireland.
Okay. I'll give him a 6 because his name is Joffrey.
Because the source's name is Joffrey? Are you going to give everyone in that? Because he's one of the big doodads.
Just him. Just for you, Gainmore.
I'm pretty sure I brought that up last episode, that I'm trying not to go too hard into the sources, but I'm letting you know that is a thing and is corroborated by different ones. Here's the funny thing.
I'll bring it back down to a 5.
So,
I just like the name Joffrey.
According to Joffrey... No.
I am the king!
According to the Book of the Taking of Ireland, he ruled 3rd century BC. According to Joffrey Keating, he ruled from 441 to 411 BCE. According to Annals of the Four Masters, he ruled from 634 to 594 BCE.
Okay. It's a 5 and an 8.
All of our kings.
this is a 5 and an 8, and he's getting a total of 13 points. Infamy.
I could say something vulgar, but other than that, nothing.
He stabbed the Red King.
Bro, I'm not giving anyone infamy points for regicide in Ireland. I am sorry. You are correct. Over in the continent, I would definitely give points for regicide, but not in Ireland. No.
Okay, I will say this. I know why, because regicide is how we get the next king.
Like, I'm not giving points for regicide. Let's just put it that way.
Zero.
I'm not even going to give points for... I'm not even going to give points for kinslaying, I don't think. Yeah, no, I'm not. After reading, no. Mm-mm.
Zero. Oath of devotion.
Nothing. He was Zero. Devoted to his wife.
That's more bardic inspiration. Which, right now, bardic inspiration.
Okay. Fathering 25 legitimate children is legendary.
That is at least a 6 for me.
The crazy thing is they're legitimate. They're not bastards. All That's from the a same 6 woman. For me. Yeah, I agree. Like, legendary. Amazing. So that's incredible.
You're giving him a 6?
Yeah.
That's a 12 for bardic inspiration. All right. Legacy.
All right, let's put it this way. He dominated Ireland, gave all the land to his children. I'd normally criticize splitting the kingdom into separate kingdoms if you hear all of my rants when we go with the Franks, and I will continue to raise against the France.
But there's the Irish are a so high like king.
Exactly.
Broken up. Yeah.
It's that culture of tribal warfare is never going to change until they are conquered. Way later. Never going to change.
By the who?
The Normans.
Ah, goddamn French.
Yeah.
So what are you giving him?
And then another thing I gotta say is he is cited as like one of the ultimate ancestor in Irish medieval genealogies, and that's kind of the reason it started this far back.
I was just guessing. Hell yeah, I called it. That's an 8.
Yeah. Yeah, I would have to go. Yeah, Nate, I agree. There's not enough to give me 10, but if we knew more, he'd be a 10 instantly.
That's a 16 for legacy, which gives him a total of in 13 for real power, a 0 in infamy enough devotion, a 12 in bardic inspiration, a 16 in legacy, gives him a grand total of 41 points, which puts him in third place.
All right. You know what that brings us to? In the annals of history. The four masters, you could say. Should he be crowned as a legendary king, just good enough to retire as a lesser noble, or deserve to be burned at the stake?
Lesser noble.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Legendary. Are you kidding me?
There's just not a fun story there. Yes, he had 26 kids, but like...
He had 26 kids with one woman. 25 kids with one woman.
Okay. It's still like not... Like, for me, that's just, like, yeah, that's, like, the only thing we know about him. Other than, like, yeah, he's called the Great, but then it's, like...
He conquered all of... He had all of Gaul under his thumb. He had the entire British Isles under his thumb. There's no evidence to support otherwise.
You know, I'm still thinking lesser noble. The story just wasn't fun for me.
I agree. It wasn't that fun, but I still think he is a legendary king.
Are we gonna roll a dice on this one?
Let's roll a dice.
Okay. Odds or evens?
Bro, it's always net. It's a passing a check. It's like net 20 or...
Okay, so...
20 now... to 11, high king, or legendary king, and 10 below is a failure.
This is bad, because I roll well, Michael.
That's good.
Let me get the bad die. The one I put in Dice Show yesterday.
Oh, so no one wants to... That's why people don't want you as their DM.
Oh, no. They were mad at me yesterday. I had a character death. It's a 9!
Oh. Sad.
Lesser Noble. Fuck yeah. I'll put a note that we die rolled for him. So in case we need more people for the... For anything later on.
I was gonna say, I don't know if we're ever gonna get to rounds.
We can do rounds anytime we want.
If people want us to do that on our
You know what, we could do rounds since we finished like the pre Charlemagne era.
We could do that.
Because see who the best is before Charlemagne.
I mean, yeah, that's kind of the big divide. Yeah.
Let's do that. Yeah. So yeah. So you know what?
Well, we're gonna do that on our premium thing because we gotta keep moving the story along.
Okay.
Anyway.
He is a lesser noble. Fuck yeah. He is a
lesser noble. If you disagree with Roberto, please let us know.
If you agree with me, please let me know. I'll feel vindicated.
You can reach us on Facebook and Instagram at Quest for Power, or email us at questforpowerpod@gmail.com. If you want to let Roberto know just how wrong he is, you can go to his domain on Twitter.
I'm never wrong.
Never X.
And I'm never wrong.
At Quest Number 4 Power Pod. Are we going to do the other thing, the new Twitter?
Blue Sky? Yeah, probably. Yeah. Okay. I'll get on that later.
I'll let Roberto takes care of Twitter-esque stuff. Podcast is researched by me and scripted by me, and it's edited by Roberto, so all the fun sound effects you get are him. Takes a lot to research, produce, and edit these episodes, but we love doing it. If you would like to support the show, you can do so by becoming a member of our royal court at thequestforpower.com. Come hang out with us in Discord and get exclusive access to extra episodes. Our first members' episodes will be our campaign Curse of Power, where we rate and review all the kings and queens of Egypt. If that's not your thing, giving us a 5-star review on your podcatcher of choice goes a long way, or just telling someone about this podcast is also appreciated. Next week, we're going to see how Ugain's offspring will handle the ritual murder of their father for power. If you can't wait, and you must know what happens next, you can listen to the next two episodes right now by becoming a member of the nobility on our website. And finally, with that, the king is dead.
Long live the king.